Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
To Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us. Joining me today is Brian Malkowitz.
Just me.
And that's it.
That's all.
That is everybody. Before the show goes on, I want to let you guys know one thing. I saw a bunch of people tweeting about this, so I assume it's okay. Don't hate us, Bungie. But we were at Bungie, and that's all we're allowed to say. That's where we were this week. So we got back today, and I was like, man, what could we do for the show? So we're going to try something a little bit different, Brian. Mm-hmm. We are going to watch the Vidoc that came out early this week and sort of go over our reaction to it live. We have this little bit of a setup, and I'll just bring it up right now. Boom. So we have a picture-in-picture so we can kind of watch it and react to it. We'll do that in just a second. First of all, this week on the TWAB, there was some cool stuff. We know the power max for what's it called when
go ahead
the day I'll one wait. It starts with a C contest
the contest day one contest yeah like mm-hmm. like the first encounter like if you're above 920 or something like that then
the last encounter is 920
last encounter like is 920 that. So yeah that so is, yeah you're anything above 920 yeah. it was just how it was with Crown of Sorrow, so it won't be anything different because they'll disable that after 24 hours just like with Crown of Sorrow. So
so that will be our goal. All of us going for that day one. It looks like you get a cool emblem and stuff.
Which is interesting because the max power of... Actually, did they announce max power for Shadowkeep?
I don't know.
I'm thinking about like with Crown of Sorrow when they released that. It wasn't actually the full max power that...
Well, now you can just keep going with the artifact.
Oh, yeah, with the artifact. So, you're just super, super infinite. That's weird.
Nailed it, Brian. Good job, buddy.
Super infinite.
Yeah, anyway, the other thing is a lot of people were concerned because a Jotun glitch was discovered by a few streamers, and apparently you can just run up to stuff and then use the Jotun, and when it damages you, that amplifies the Jotun's damage, and that will be disabled for the raid. So that was
get your quick uses out of it.
Yeah,
as much as possible before they just nerf it into the ground.
Have fun.
I haven't
actually had
a chance to test it out yet because I actually want to like take it to some other strike bosses and see how much it melts them.
Yeah, but have fun while it lasts. Just like with those infinite reloads,
it'll probably last a while considering that they're not going to nerf it before the raid. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I wonder how long it's going to be until after that until they.
Yeah, I got to ask you a question, actually. Yeah, go ahead. Speaking of the raid and Shadowkeep coming up, where are you at with your mods?
My mods?
Yeah, because Reddit right now has this thread going on where they're like, here's how you get every mod.
Right.
And
right.
I realized I have like none of the mods from Menagerie. I have like three of the ones from Menagerie. There's a lot. And then there's a few from few from Scourge.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, I can, for the life of me, I cannot get Taken armaments or Fallen armaments. I did get Hive armaments with Crown of Sorrow.
Okay.
But like there are things like Hive armaments and it's like Taken armaments and Fallen armaments that it just still elude me to this day. But
yeah. I got really lucky. I went over to Ada and I was just buying
all of her mods. Things,
and I'm like, oh, I just didn't get one. It's not too coveted, but I forgot about how the economy keeps getting more expensive. So I spent all my stuff and I'm like, oh, that was really dumb.
Yeah, it
was, but it was I'm missing one that I'm like never gonna use.
It was just like when the spider first came available and people were just spamming getting enhancement cores and then like, wait a minute, where are all my legendary shards go?
Yeah, exactly. But, new move. So I need minor and major from Reckoning. That's the one that's going to be the most annoying.
So those mods that currently exist in the game, those are going to be infinite use, right? Correct?
Yeah, you need one.
You just need one, and then you have it unlocked.
And they've said it will become an unlockable, later on.
Yeah, yeah. So I have most of those things, but there's a lot of like enhanced like perked mods that I don't have.
Yeah. Like the Menagerie ones are all enemy specific.
Right.
And those I am behind on. Yep. I'm not too worried about them. Anyway, let's get into the new format that we're going to try. Really stoked about Shadowkeep. Can't wait to play more. I'm going to bring up the laptop, picture in picture. This is new. We actually got two HDMI inputs on the Magic Machine over there.
Never been done before in the history of video have they done picture in picture. This is brand new.
Wow. Wow,
brand
guys.
New.
High tech over here at IGN.
Woo.
Dang. So, Brian, here's how we'll do it. I'll hit play, and if you want me to stop, just say stop and say your comment.
What if I never say stop?
Then I will do all the talking for the rest of the show. I can be a motorboat if I need to be. All right, so here we go, everybody. Trying something new. Let us know what you think of it.
Year three is the beginning of us really looking at Destiny from its heart out. We want to build Destiny for its core fans. We want to make sure that we're building it for the people who love it.
So that phrasing, building it for the core fans, building it for the people that love it, that's people like us. When they say that with the new light and everything coming, what do you think? Like, how do you think people are going to react?
Who the hell
were
they building for in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like,
we want to build it for the fans who love it. Like, wait a minute. You weren't doing that in the first place? No.
Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting when all these new Guardians come in and they're going to be have all this new information to sort of go over. I'm really excited about it as a fan. I hope it's not overwhelming the new players.
I mean, like, I hope the same way, but, like, in a way, I'm sort of envious of new players.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, right now, I still genuinely believe that Destiny is in the best state it's ever been in. Mm-hmm. You know, rose-tinted goggles off and all, the nostalgia of Destiny 1.
Yeah.
You know, like, just seeing all the things that are coming with Shadowkeep and all the mystery behind it and the spookiness and all the systems that are changing, as a veteran player, I'm kind of sad that these are the things that I'm not going to be able to experience for the first time as a player who's never been in the franchise before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, watching this Vidoc also, it's just kind of like, to me, this is them. They're hitting the reset button on Destiny.
Yeah.
This is like the Taken King of Destiny 2. They're changing so many systems that it's going to be a dramatic overhaul of everything that we can expect.
Much more dramatic than Forsaken was, because I think when Forsaken came out, we were comparing it in that sense. Like, oh, this is the Taken King of Destiny 1, which in a sense we're kind of like, at this point, we're kind of jaded by that. We're like, all right, how many resets can Destiny have before it just becomes a game that it is for the rest of its life cycle? Mm-hmm. And then we're just enjoying it from there on.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it up later just because we played 18 seconds.
Yeah, sorry.
And we have a 10-minute thing to go through. But yeah, here we go.
It's trying to make sure that players feel like they're on this journey with us rather than us dictating what they're experiencing.
Okay, I don't know why that toolbars up there, but on the journey with us, I also thought that was really important. I promise I'm probably just gonna do this every 10 seconds. Sorry, listeners, I hope you don't hate me.
I think the whole reason people watch the podcast is to listen to people talk about the stuff they're interested in, so I think they're okay with that. Like, hey, just shut up and watch the video, they can watch it.
I also have to say their level of communication is astounding, evidenced expertly today by the fact that Jotun was glitched. The community is like, Jotun's bad. You know, Paul Tassi gets his article
out. It's
not
bad. It's just overpowered.
It's overpowered.
It's very, very good.
And they're like,
in a bad way.
It's out. Community wants it out. It's gone.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
But I mean, like, the thing is like, it's really weird that the community wants it out and gone, because when something's generally overpowered,
they don't want it gone. It's just for the raid.
No, for sure. But I mean, like, you think about back in like Destiny 1 when Gjallarhorn was at its height. No one was like, get this out of here. It's broken. We don't want it here. You know, it was like, Gjallarhorn. Yeah. And then we find Jotun that's just like super broken right now.
They never did anything to Gjallarhorn though, right? They never like...
Well, they nerfed it in Taken King.
They nerfed the...
It took him a year to do that in Taken King.
The little guys, and it was still ridiculous.
So, yeah, it was still really, very good, but it wasn't like its overpowered state. But I mean, what I mean is that it's weird, but also kind of like cool to see the community shift in that regard, where it's like everybody's rallying kind of against Jotun right now.
Yeah,
because it's overpowered, but is it overpowered in PvP? I wouldn't say it is, because you have to be right in their face.
This is
to get the damage buff. Yeah, but this is mostly a PvE centric thing. Generally, when something's broken in PvE, everyone's like, "Yes, get this gun, melt everything."
This is a specific response for the raid.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to maintain the contest for the raid, and it's just great to see. And it's just an example of the level of communication that they have with their community. Let's bring it back up and keep going.
Sometimes you feel like the events of the world happen.
Tanks,
and sometimes
bring them back.
You feel like you make the events of the world happen.
That makes me every day go, what's the...
So if you want to scroll back there for a second.
Mm-hmm. To which part?
Just a little bit before that giant ogre. So we've been seeing, like, when Vex are coming out of the Black Garden, they kind of look decrepit and old, and they have like this overgrowth on them, and so does this ogre that we see on here. So I'm just wondering if this is some sort of like Vex controlled ogre that they're, you know, kind of. I mean,
well, I think it's whatever the nightmare thing is going to end up being.
Is like, that what this
based
is? Is that
on,
what this
based on whatever that is? I think that's what it's
like for the nightmare.
They're basically like controlled zombies, or like the way that the Taken are like dead things brought back to life, and then or no, that's
they're taken and
they're taken and
turned into this, turned.
I think these guys are defeated enemies being brought back to reality or something like that. Also, good call out, Brian. The knight later in this looks sick.
The what?
He looked the knight.
Oh, the knight.
The
knight.
That's like half fire.
We'll see. And I don't know how late in this video it is, but we'll see it. Yeah, we'll get to it eventually.
That makes me every day go, what's the best version of Destiny we can put in front of players? The real thing we're doing this year is telling our players.
I already want that emote.
Yeah.
Like just like just saying, hey, sword clashing.
We're back. This is the 5-year vision for the game.
5-year vision.
Five years. Now, when they say 5 years, they mean 5 years of Destiny or five more years of Destiny 2?
I'm pretty sure he means 5 more years of Destiny 2. So that's what
how
it seems.
How big
to
is
me.
This game going to get before Destiny 3 ships? When I mean by big, I mean like, I don't mean just like, I don't mean big as in like, oh man, we got like 20 planets to go into. I mean like my hard drive.
Oh,
My poor hard drive.
I've always kind of wondered about that because at some point, it's like 130 gigs right now or something like that. It's 100 and something gigs.
It's over 100 gigs right now. Yeah, and we've already had Luke saying, like, oh, yeah, but the game can't expand forever because it just takes up too much space. And that's probably largely one of the reasons why, maybe not largely one of the reasons why, but Destiny 1 isn't in Destiny 2 because of how big the game is without it.
Yeah, not
adding an entire other game to it would just make it a huge...
They did
a huge file.
They did mention at one point cycling out some of the probably less used stuff. So maybe they'll hit like a file size cap, and they'll be like, "This is as big as we're gonna get." So we need to figure out, you know, what
we're dropping
information.
Sure, Mercury.
Yeah, Mercury can go.
A lot of what we're doing this year is to set Destiny into a place where Destiny can begin its next major change. What we want to construct is a world where players feel like their actions, whether personal or as an overall global community, are moving the universe forward in some meaningful way.
That song.
The vision for the game is
beautiful song.
Awesome action MMO in a single evolving world that you and your friends can play anywhere.
That is their favorite line now.
Oh, yeah.
Single evolving world.
They're trying to like reinforce it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Shadowkeep is this first step to where we want to get to. Eris is going to make a discovery, and the discovery she makes is really important to where Destiny's going.
I wonder how they're going to make me care about Gaul.
With the
general distaste in the community about like how Gaul's storyline went and how kind of poor his boss fight was received. And they bring him back as a nightmare.
The boss fight was fine. Gaul was a bad guy. I didn't mind the story arc of it. It was their first attempt at like grandiose storytelling. I gave Destiny 2 base a pretty high score.
Yeah.
And it's continued to, you know, sort of ebb and flow. Like if I had to change that score every 3 months, like by the time Curse of Osiris came out, it would have been lower. But like right now, I'm pretty happy with the base score that I gave it. So it's sort of weird thinking back to like reviewing a product like this. Like I scored Drifter, Season of the Drifter highly.
Right.
But then it wasn't until later that I realized like the cross usage of all the things that you gain here just isn't prevalent. It's all for Gambit and Reckoning.
Right. And then so now like looking back, like maybe I wouldn't have given it that high of a score or
maybe
it's really hard to give Destiny, a game like Destiny, a score. Especially when we know that it's just going to change so much that when people look back at our initial review of Destiny and they're like, oh, this game is a, I don't know what you gave it. If it's like a,
I think I gave it an 8.5.
Yeah, if they're like, oh,
I gave it a high score.
Yeah, if people go back and they're like, oh man, this game is an 8.5. I was hoping to be a 9.5 or higher. I'm not going to buy it. But it's like that review is not indicative of what the game's like anymore.
Yeah, I think... I'm not reviewing Shadowkeep. I asked to not review Destiny anymore, but I do think that potentially.
Do we know who's reviewing that for us?
I requested somebody that I respect a lot who does really good reviews.
Are they local?
Freelancer. It's a Travis. You know.
Is he local?
There's a Thai guy, Travis.
Thai guy, Travis.
Yeah, really nice guy. Knows his stuff.
Is he local to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Oh.
He works like down the block.
If he's reviewing it, then we could probably have him on the
Yeah, on we the probably could. That's
right. You know, since he's reviewing it for us, so, I mean, we might as well put him on the episode.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Excited to see his take, but I wonder if maybe, like, there should be a new overall review about where Destiny is, like a review of the expansion, and we should look holistically at where the product's at. I don't know.
That's not, I mean, obviously that's a great, like, pitch for Dan Stapleton. Like, hey, Destiny is not in any way what it was
at
we
launch.
Scored it. In 2017,
yeah,
like it's
and New Light's going to totally change the new user experience
100% because a new player who's going to pick up Destiny 2 for the first time is not going to start the game the way you and I did,
no,
and everybody watching did,
yeah,
you know,
for sure. Let's keep going,
keep going.
Before us lies a dark remnant.
Fast forward this through this armor.
No, this armor, I don't want to know, Brian.
Just get rid
of it. I love this armor.
Look, okay, one. Again, I've said this many times, but I'm changing the way I think it looks. Like I said, oh, it looks like somebody made a bad Eris Morn mask and put it on because, it, you know, obviously the three little pokey eyes and then the the little
he's,
the string.
He tie. Is the biggest Eris Morn fan. It kind of it looks like her armor. It's like my Dead Space cosplay of Eris Morn.
Oh, man, you're going to have to put up. You're going to have to put it up.
I don't have it.
Anyways, just search it online. Dead Space armor, Destiny 2 cosplay or not Destin cosplay.
Yeah.
No, but it also just looks like an image of a tape of like a tape.
Brian hates the armor.
I do not like it. Move it on. Also, he has hose.
Players gonna be called back to the moon, a place that they're very familiar with if they were players in Destiny 1, but they're gonna find that it's been changed. And part of the game is understanding what changed it.
Good lighting.
What has Eris discovered here?
Really, bow and arrow, bro. Really?
Yeah, but that's the exotic one, right? Can you scroll back a little bit? Does that have the bike chain on it?
Might be the exotic one.
Find that it's been changed, and part of the game is understanding
very, very
what
dark.
Changed it. What is Eris?
Yeah, bike chain. You can see the bow. Yeah,
that's exactly.
And what does it mean?
And then he got hit.
Because you're using a bow that close
to the world, not just in the context of right
good shot
now,
though.
I'm very excited.
In March,
moon.
Yeah,
very sorry. Sorry, I don't want to keep interrupting.
No, it's
having
fine.
You stop. Keep going.
You're all insufferable. Save your torment for someone who gives a damn.
Do we speculate on who we believe she's yelling at?
She's yelling at all the crazy visions. And we
have we thought about who she's because she's yelling at those little red apparitions of you know, humans or, you know.
Yeah, I will say this. We have been traveling. There have been like 7 lore documents that came out this week alone.
So, on
the TWAB. Or on Bungie.net, so I haven't had time to read that. I don't believe you have either.
I haven't had time to read that.
Yeah, so maybe it's revealed in
maybe
there.
Maybe it's
revealed
in there.
But if it's not, if we're just speculating on the show, given that context to all of our viewers, I wonder if it's her old crew.
I think it's going to be her old fire team that she went down into the pit with.
Yeah.
She went down into the pit, and you know, and these are her nightmares. Her nightmares are all her fire team members that she went to go fight Crota with that died in the pit, and then she emerged alone. And those are her nightmares, or her old fire team.
I like that. I like that take a lot.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That you're plagued by these nightmares.
Nightmares are manifestations of trauma.
Sorry, we saw Skolas again.
Yeah.
I really hope they give us a fight with Skolas like it was in the Prison of Elders.
Like you want to go back to Prison of Elders?
No, I'm not saying go back to the Prison of Elders, but maybe there's some
we
sort
could.
Of like...
That's in the game.
Yeah, the prison. But what I mean is, obviously, we're going to be fighting his nightmarish version of it, and I imagine it's going to be on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there's some sort of arena that resembles the Prison of Elder arena that we fought him in, and just has those sort of mechanics in it, because that's a very
well,
fun.
That
fight.
Is that love, that Prison of Elders arena is.
Oh yeah,
in
that,
the strike.
That. Oh, that's right. Because
so
it's
is
in the
in
strike.
The game.
So that arena is. Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
would be super cool, actually.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be a neat way to bring back. And have us relive that.
Relive that fight. Because I would love to relive. Because like I love the idea of reliving old Destiny stuff, but with new metas and new like the newer ways that we're playing.
Yeah.
So it's just like you know just having that bit of nostalgia, but also bringing all this new stuff into it and playing it that way.
Cool. Shout out to Ben Womack on the screen. Hey, Ben, good to see you.
Ben.
Guardians who have come back to the moon. They even go further.
This was really exciting.
Why is that?
It's just guardians. These are guardians. Nightmare of Laronvis Council Hand.
Looks like fallen though.
Are they fallen?
Look at them.
But I don't know, man. They just look really.
They look fallen.
Okay, right? They're fallen. Yeah. Okay, you're right. They're fallen. But who are these characters?
I don't know. But like Nightmare of Laronvis Council Hand. I imagine that character, and if you guys know, if there's some lore, some deep lore mm-hmm. where this Laronvis Council Hand like exists in anywhere in the Destiny lore.
I've only watched this like at 2x, so I always thought this was just Guardians. But I don't know. Like I think we're gonna learn a lot more about the Fallen side of the story because you know them helping.
Comes back as a nightmare.
Yeah, that would mess
voiced
with me.
By Nathan Fillion.
And that would
just,
mess with me.
And then like he's just like a boss fight, and you have to fight Cade.
I would hate that. Don't do that.
But while you're fighting alongside Uldren.
Oh, that would be
that would be dark. Anyways,
They have to be the ones that betrayed the queen, right? Or involved with the queen somehow. I don't know. They seem more intelligent than the typical rank and file.
Sure, sure. There's a reason why they're nightmare.
Yeah. Is that Golgi?
That's not Golgi. That's Fogoth. He's got the chains.
You're right.
Because Golgoth wasn't chained up.
A destination with a new set of missions on it. Shadowkeep is
weapons of light, baby.
Sorry.
Transition for the entire solar system of how you play the entire game.
Is that the bug gun?
You always stop right on the warlock armor every time.
I just love it.
Anyway,
it's so great.
That's not the bug one. The bug one. Hey, can you scroll back just a little bit? Can you tap back or?
I can only do this.
Shadowkeep is not just
Monte Carlo?
Yeah, I can't really.
That's Monte Carlo, by the way. I think they already showed that off. Oh.
Field crafting choices, deeper RPG chase, like more.
This shot of this guy is every meeting I'm in when I don't want to answer a question and I look avert everybody's gaze.
You just look away from what everybody?
Deeper RPG chase, like more.
What do you think? what's over
anybody
there?
Anybody got any questions?
Seems like a nice guy, though. I just thought it was a funny show.
One of the first things we set out to do with Shadowkeep was deepen the character sheet.
Can you go back to that? I kind of want to see what that was on screen. That kind of looked...
This here?
The left
over
side
here?
Over here, yeah.
Oh, maybe.
Like there's like petals falling or something. You can play it and then it kind of just plays.
Those are probably particle effects. That's the engine saying, here's how you're going to render your particle effects.
It also reminds me of like when you're in the tower during like the revelry and like petals are falling and stuff like that.
So it might be a location with that sort of thing going on.
Deepen the character sheet.
He was implementing some of the feedback he got from Sheik.
That led to all the changes that we made to armor.
I'm happy with armor changes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go through all of my armors and I'm going to just delete any duplicate. Because armor 2.0 makes any armor 1.0 irrelevant after like 800.
I've been kind of going through my exotic armor and like, because I usually keep a copy of all my exotic armor that I get dropped, but I'm kind of just going through and making sure it doesn't have the good roll that I like and then just deleting it.
Yep.
Because I'm like, well, I'm going to pull it out of the collections and it's going to have armor 2.0, you know, the stat rolls.
Well, exotics don't have armor 2.0, do they?
I'm pretty sure they do.
All right, we'll have to come back to that.
We'll have to come back to that, or you can just let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
But before you move on from this frame...
That's Eris, right? That's a model of Eris, or is that a
model of armor?
Set. Oh, no, that's the Hunter set.
But what set? Because it looks awesome. I know it's out of focus.
I think it's from...
it looks awesome.
God, it's... Well, no, it's probably new.
It kind of looks new. There's not an armor that I recognize.
Well, it looks sick.
All about making every slot on your character sheet have an impact.
That's the that's the Eververse armor, right?
No, all of these are not the Eververse armor.
Oh, good.
All of these are the other armors that look cooler than the raid armor that is the Eververse armor.
We're not going to go back into that.
Yeah, we talked about it
extensively.
That looks sick. I bet you get that from the raid. Oh, you don't.
Oh, you don't. That's the Eververse armor.
No, that's not.
Isn't it? I thought that was.
The raid armor is the one that was.
No. What I mean is the Eververse ornaments from Shadowkeep.
I don't think that is, Brian. That's a new set. Look,
I know it's a new set, but I know there's an ornament set in Shadowkeep that looks an awful lot like that.
Okay. Maybe.
I imagine it might be because of the weird symbols going on behind the... behind. If you look at the actual image, it's like there's like some weird symbols behind the armor's image.
Oh, so you think that might mean they have the... artifact, whatever it's called.
An ornament.
Ornamentation.
Ornamentation.
Yeah.
But
maybe.
Something more exciting about this frame is if you look in the bottom left of the frame, we got a Gorgon looking ghost.
Oh, that's sick. And yeah, he has it popped out. You can see it's behind the glimmer.
Oh, yeah, I've duh.
Yeah.
But yeah, that looks awesome. It's kind of hidden behind the glimmer, but I mean, you got a bigger image of it down there, and that looks awesome, and I want it immediately.
That looks really good. And the exotic HMG heavy machine gun.
Yeah, baby.
Into strength showing. This guy's 962. Glimmer's over 50K. He has 11,000 legendary shards.
Wow.
That's like...
I have like 4,000. Yeah, I thought I had a lot. Economy.
Healthy finisher, so there are going to be new mods introduced. I don't know if these are just going to be given to us or we're going to have to acquire them through some means like we do.
I imagine they'll be acquired.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering what the drop is going to be like. I mean, I imagine we'll get armor mods to drop from Gunsmith package rank ups.
What's the special one?
Where are you seeing that at?
On the far left there. It's like a special ammo icon with a skull.
Yeah, I don't know.
Special ammo finisher, so it will consume
ammo. No, right?
Well, because that's healthy finisher, right? So these are all finisher mods.
But there are mods that I've seen. This is if you kill an enemy with a heavy, you get heavy ammo. With your finisher, you get heavy ammo.
Oh, okay.
But I imagine that's the same because it's only got like two. It's only consumes two energy. So I imagine the other one's going to consume like three or four to get heavy ammo back. Well, it's going to require some of your
stuff. Maybe that means melee finisher. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, mods that you can get for your finisher.
I like that one a lot.
There's a whole new crop of weapons that are coming out.
Do you recognize any of these? That's the bug gun in the back, I think. No, they both have the heavy machine gun.
That kind of looks like Blast Furnace.
The hand can, the one on the right there?
Like
a Blast Furnace.
It looks like Blast Furnace with a shader on it.
Yeah, maybe. You can see the hand cannon better over here. That monitor sucks, by the way, that we're watching.
Oh, yeah, we're looking at the monitor and it's all off, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weapons to earn. There's the new Shadowkeep, Astro Shaman-y weapons.
Yeah, this is like the new armor set.
Magic-y, like new weapons. Imbued with dark power sort of feel to it.
You're fending for yourself. Garrus is not trying to protect you. So the weapons, just, cannon, like, nice. They're guiding you through the experience and they're telling you when the nightmares are around.
Okay, so I didn't know Fogoth was in the...
Well, there he is.
There he is, okay.
You're fighting him on the surface.
I knew he was in there, but I just didn't know he was in this Vidoc.
Eliminate before it sacrifices. So maybe these are going to be timed.
Eliminate the nightmare before sacrifices. Mm. Awesome. 0 point. So I like the Hobbit, or sorry, the Lord of the Rings take on these weapons where they show you, they start lighting up red when there's nightmares near you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, kind of like Bilbo, or not Bilbo, but Frodo's blade when it glows when there's orc around.
Oh, yeah, that's really neat. And that's a subtle touch. I wonder how much the designers fought to make sure that was implemented.
Yeah.
They have to glow.
Like, they must glow.
Yeah.
It's set up that when you're near the nightmares, like, they have a bit of this, like, almost like you can see through them or there's some glowing inside.
This is one of the weapons that Victor is making.
All right. What the heck?
What?
Maybe this... What is that red orb?
Oh, yeah. What's going on there?
That is a different orb that we haven't seen, and I'm really curious what it is and why it's... Why it
dropped. Can you scroll it back a little bit and play it from there and see how it's animating?
It just popped out. Popped out on kill. It's like, watch.
This is one of the weapons.
Death.
Oh, yeah. Red orb. It popped out on kill.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like a...
I want to know what that is. That looks sick.
Yeah, that's the rocket launcher that's like...
Crown Dreamcatcher.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's what it.
Crow Dreamcatcher.
It's a rocket launcher. Fires.
As she's explaining right here, it's the rocket launcher that fires the
void and then has
the void. So it's like it's like a Nova bomb, but inside of a rocket launcher.
Your Nova is going to be useless.
Yeah. I doubt it's going to be as powerful, but
yeah.
Seeker projectiles. So should be fun.
Void Gjallarhorn, as it might be called.
It's Void Gjallarhorn.
We're going to learn a bunch of cool stuff about Eris and this nightmare problem around the solar system, but you're going to build a bunch of cool rewards. And then, you know, if you don't get rolls that you like, you're going to go back to the rune table and you're going to make more.
The rune table. Now, what did he say? If you don't get the what that
you
like.
If you don't get the roll that you like, you go back to the rune table and you try again.
Interesting.
So this season's menagerie.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to have recipes or I wonder how it's going to function. Does this activate a challenge for you that you then have to go do?
Yeah, so
I imagine maybe it's like
materials that you gather and then you use that to consume it. And like, it looks like it has like spinning things. So there's probably a lot of like different like things and nodes that you have to hit in order to try and get a certain role that you want.
Oh, yeah. So it's,
it's probably not
going to be... So let's assume there's four recipe slots.
Right? Yeah, so I imagine there's going to be some sort of like...
consumable item sort of
Consumable item, but there's also a way to maybe get the role you're looking for with some randomized elements to it, but also have a path to try and get something that you actually want rather than just being completely randomized.
Yeah, and this was the first time we saw this, so this was really intriguing to me, and I want to discover more whenever we get to play. Mm-hmm. October 1st, maybe.
And that's part of being a...
Oh, yeah. Phantasmal Fragment. Defeat enemies in nightmare hunts with finishers. That's what this particular
bounty says. These phantasmal fragments are probably...
awarded. Well, it looks like you have some of them down there. There's a lot of new materials.
Yeah. I mean, we've even seen that. Like, all the new materials down here and all the new materials that you need to build up your armor with all the new Ascendant Shards and all that stuff they're bringing back from Destiny 1.
This poor guy's already spent, like, 1,200 Legendary Shards. What's he spent them on?
Yeah. We started out with 11. He started out with 1,100. Now he's down 1,000.
Lectern of Enhancement, a mechanism of the occult built by Erismorn to harness even the most unstable of magics. Access the lantern to create gear.
This is Lectern.
Lectern, sorry. Jeez, I'm having trouble reading today. To create gear using nightmare essences and collect bounties. And then the preview. Let's just kind of go through what you say. Your way.
Yeah, they kind of don't go into it.
Did I just skip the whole thing?
No. They don't really go into the lectern that much. Try to like.
What happened?
There you go. Nightmare. Right there.
Table and you're gonna make more, and that's part of.
All right. So shock therapy, defeat enemies in nightmare hunts with arc damage.
Being a Shadowkeep player,
and
then we got building.
One. Yeah, we showed those two. Yeah. So they don't really go too deep into. The actual systems of the lectern.
Lectern. I'll learn how to
talk. Like, separate that, like, sort of ramp up cinematic, like, story climax.
James. From the... So, I don't know if I'm name dropping or whatever you want to call it, but James and I did our first run of the strike in Destiny 1 for our IGN first, and we did it together. We did a commentary.
You and who?
James Tsai. Oh. And that was him sitting in the chair. Right, He's also rocking the gray 7 shirt that I rock on weekends.
That you rock on weekends? Is that your like laundry, like lazy, I'm going to wear this Saturday and Sunday shirt?
You probably see me wearing it a lot when I stream because like I put on more comfortable clothing. Sure, I wear a lot of buttons up.
Each year we have an expansion set that comes out like Shadowkeep, and we're going to have 4 follow-on seasons. And the expansions themselves are like meant to be an anchor that is going to set that arc in a place. That growth, evolution, change, that's the stuff that manifests in the seasons. So we evolve the season pass.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
That's a lot of seasons. Undying, Dawn, Scory. We're just trying to make out what it says.
Damn the flood. The thing. So I'm going back to what Luke was just saying, where he was saying that like he was like expansions like Shadowkeep are the anchors of where they want the year to go, and then the seasons kind of flesh that out. I was kind of worried that like they were going to move away from expansions completely and just do seasonal content.
Yeah.
But it seems that here that they're going to keep that cadence release of just like, hey, here's Shadowkeep, and now you have a year of content drops with the season.
Well, the season pass gives you 3 of the things.
Season pass gives you 3, but Shadowkeep comes with. First one. And then there'll be 3
which
more.
Which is Undying.
Which is Undying. And then there'll be 4, there'll be 3, I think 3 more after.
Yeah.
And then it seems like we're going to get another expansion next year. And I'm not saying that that's what they said. It seems like they're not moving away from expansions, which is what I was initially worried about.
I like how he's talking about how everything sort of ties together. And based on what we know already about, Undying, Dawn, and then whatever, it seems like it does culminate in some sort of epic battle. And
yeah.
I really, really like
it. I'm glad. It seems, and I really just hope that this is how it's going to go, is that they're moving away from, because each season this year was... It's all its own little contained bubble.
Like, what do we have? We had the Black Armory, and then none of that ever got resolved. We had Season of the Drifter, and that's where we got the cutscenes, I think.
We got like 1 or 2 cutscenes with some some like fancy visual lore.
And then we got probably the best one. I'll call it Season of the Menagerie.
Season of the Menagerie. Yeah. That was Season of Opulence.
Yeah. Yeah. Opulence was really, really strong. Out of all of them, I would say Opulence was the best. It was just really interesting because the first season was weapons and armor. It kind of gave you a better idea of how to acquire things. Second season, it was sort of like just all about Gambit and Reckoning.
Yeah.
And then the last season was sort of get whatever you want in this season. Mm. Get whatever you need.
And but the issue with those is that they were all self-contained.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's our own story.
And we know.
Even though it's like, all right, we have some sort of wrap up, not really. It's a tease for something else. Then we start a new season, which has its own thing, which didn't really wrap up that much. And then we have another season that's also its own thing. So I would love to see that this season and the following seasons all just culminate in one long, year-long story.
Yeah, well, we know 8, 9, and 10 are tied together. We'll see after that. They do say one thing later in the Viadoc, Brian. They say they want players, I think it's Luke, who says they want players to say, I was there when. Now,
oh yeah.
Is that talking about the season or the joining of the seasons, or do you think that they're just going to like throw crazy random world events at us?
I think it's that. So it's like they're gonna do something in these seasons and these expansions to drastically change the way the world is, and then they want like players to, when something else changes, you know, they're like, hey, I was there when like it was like this then, and like, oh, you have no idea when back then when it was like this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's, you know, they just want to create that. So it's like exciting when the world changes.
Here's how I want it to be. I want to call you up on a Saturday, be like, Brian, you need to sign on as soon as possible. Things are going
crazy.
Well,
that's kind of how it was when the Dreaming City unlocked, when the raid was beat and the entire thing just changed. Like I think it was Bodum.
Yeah.
Bodum was just like, dude, you got to get into the Dream City right now. It is crazy. Yeah. You know, they log in, you're like, what is going on?
Yeah. Everything's this huge space.
Yeah. It's not just that it was the Dreaming City that changed. It was the Dream City that was unlocked. It was that it was changed because the raid was beat. Mm-hmm. So all this like Taken stuff was forming over. Yeah. And like that was the beginning of the 3-week cycle.
Yeah.
And that was new and exciting because we had no idea what the heck was going on. So that was awesome. I hope for more stuff like that.
All right. Continuing. This is going to be a long episode, but I think that's okay. I'm enjoying this again. Let us know what you think about this format. We might try it again with future Viadocs. It's sort of fun to do. Let's go. This
changes from the seasonal model you'll see from the annual pass is.
Fix.
Like, thank you, Bungie, for fixing
the stuff that doesn't work.
No, what I was just saying is because we were trying to read some of those, but some of them came into focus there.
Oh. The annual pass is that we're focusing.
Oh, so it's like deleted.
Scene,
all right. They're being.
Is that we're here, focusing a lot more.
Fix the timeline. Deleted. Is it like season of the scene?
Dawn scene deleted. Okay.
Anyways. We're focusing a lot more.
Fix the timeline.
Yeah. No.
That's funny.
On how the seasons actually connect to one another.
Yeah, they're talking about.
We
want to
make sure we're
discussing.
Actually threading a narrative that players can follow, starting in Shadowkeep.
We're going to start telling one continuous story.
We want it to be meaningful.
That's great.
That's what we need.
Why was I sent there?
We're actually trying to set up this concept of the season.
You don't have to show me the Infinite Forest, though.
And you want to be there and you want to experience it.
Yeah, so like this is one of the biggest criticisms that I've had about Destiny. It's just like we finished Destiny 1, and we didn't touch on any of those narrative threads until...
This is the first time we're seeing the Black Garden since we beat the very original campaign of Destiny 1. This is the first time the Black Garden's coming back into play. And it's like...
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. My wife's texting me.
Actually, no. I believe it. Yeah.
Recording a show.
The players are moving the world forward. They're making an impact. They're leaving that resonance in the world itself.
How can
I'm going to leave my resonance all over that world.
Guardians
again,
actually
stopping
together.
When that warlock armor is just prominently in frame. Yeah. Doing it on purpose.
Taking a selfie.
Rewards, pursuits, new experiences for everyone.
We want a universe that's dynamic and changing. It's a universe where you can have memories. You can say things like, I was there when.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what you're talking about. Ooh, I like an umbrella emote.
I like the punch emote.
Oh,
like
that was cool.
But martial arts thing. Like umbrellas are cool too, I guess, Brian.
They are pretty cool.
Boosh.
Every season they log into Destiny, there's a new way to play the game. Season rank.
How do you feel about the pass?
The season rank? I think it's cool. Yeah. I mean, I mean, what's the hate about it?
You get a free exotic. There are exotics on the paid thing. Honestly,
yeah.
I'm going to get it.
I mean, this comes with Shadowkeep, right? If you buy Shadowkeep, you have the season pass.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you can buy the season pass without Shadowkeep.
Mm-hmm. Everybody who watches the show knows that I'm a big... I'm really sensitive to how games are monetized, right?
Sure, sure.
I recognize that the development team usually needs ancillary income to support the teams that are developing this stuff, right? Secondarily, I think they need to do it responsibly. I think in Destiny 1, it wasn't necessarily done the most responsible because it was more of a gambling mechanic. You just keep buying. Maybe you'll get it. There was no threshold. Destiny 2 launch, they sort of got better. It's going to be interesting to see how Shadowkeep goes. So far, if I'm looking at this, I'm like, okay, this seems like a healthy way to offer progression, natural progression and natural rewards for buying a season pass. I'm mostly okay with this. How do you feel about it? Same.
I mean, like, you know,
there's a free pass, there's a paid pass.
Like, if you're a new light player, like, and that's it. And you're just a free player. You're just playing Destiny New Light, and then you have access to Season of the Undying stuff. Mm-hmm. You get a free path. Like,
yeah.
Those rewards down there are less for. What I imagine is those rewards are less for you and I, because we're going to have that season access, right? Mm-hmm. It's more there to entice players to want to buy it. So it's like, hey, if I buy this, I'll get an exotic.
Fortnite does this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. And I think they're also improving on the Fortnite model, because they said you can later on buy the tiers if you want to just catch up. But right. immediately,
that, but you can't just
sign on and buy them all like we would for our features. You know? But
you have to actually rank up,
or like Steven Rue would for his Fortnite features. Anyway, I'm all for the season pass. Would love to hear your thoughts in the comments.
The artifact, the bonus power that comes with the artifact, player elected difficulty,
980 difficulty stuff.
These are all systems. So that
looks like it's going to be the highest.
Do you want to go back?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be the highest light our guardians these will are all get systems naturally
that...
without the season pass. Or artifact, sorry, without the the artifact. We can grow infinitely with our artifact.
I don't know about that. Looks whoa. Rewards, exotic gear, enhancement prisms on common. Look at all the modifiers actually on the
empathy. 950.
I'm gonna go back because I actually didn't look at this.
All right, can you stop on the artifact page? Oh wait, never mind.
The artifact page?
I thought there were, when he hovered over the artifact, it was like
I don't think they showed it. That was
anyways. That's fine.
Become legend. So Nightfall, the ordeal. Mission modifiers include empath, champions unstoppable, champions barrier, equipment lock, match game, hash Ladun's serenade. What is that?
All of these modifiers, except for equipment locked and match game, are just like brand new. Who the hell knows what these are?
Yeah, but it looks like guaranteed exotic gear.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say guaranteed because, well, I mean, it is nice.
Potential, yeah.
Yeah, like, difficult. But then.
Oh, and then, oh, then Ascendant Shards are back.
Yeah, they're back. Yeah. These are for when you're leveling up your armor, right? When you're masterworking armor.
Yeah. And then master is 980, it looks like. And
so that's why I imagine that this is the highest light our guardians will get.
Yeah, the 980
before
added.
Before you add on light with your artifact.
Yeah, it added chaff and mob.
What is chaff? Chaff isn't new, is it?
It's like where you wear jeans that are too tight and then just get
start chafing.
I'm not
saying
sure
because I wear skinny jeans.
No, this is a little different. I think I have no idea what these modifiers are, so we'll just have to wait, play, and find out. I don't know if 980 is the cap though. I feel like this is beyond the cap. I think 950 is the cap. And then 980
is like 980 is
because
like,
this is master. This is like, okay, you want something even harder? Here's 980.
You're going to have to use your artifact to gain more light.
Yeah.
Fair.
These are all systems that are designed Barrier to night. Make the game.
So actually, if you, okay. So, yeah. So it says Barrier Knight there. If you scroll back again to that mm-hmm. page with the Nightfall and you go back to the modifiers, Champion's Barrier, is that like.
Mm. Okay. So every champion's got a barrier or something.
These are all systems that are designed to make the game more compelling as a character.
He wasn't doing. Sorry, I'm just trying to like analyze that frame.
What we wanted to provide with
all right,
was an infinite power grind.
Here it is. Now, here's the thing I don't understand about the artifact. How am I continuing to level by putting these mods in? Every time I do it, does it just give me, all right, now you're not 950, now you're 960 because you've unlocked one.
Yeah, yeah. 70, I 80, imagine 90. That's what the plus 14 is down here.
Where?
Right here at the bottom right. It's plus 14.
12 to 12 plus 14.
Yeah, but I have no idea what any of that is. Like,
how do I go beyond 14? Can I do more slots? Like after I go all 10, do I get to keep going after that? Like that's sort of, I'm curious about how that system's going to work.
Yeah, because like they say you can grow infinitely, but we haven't seen that page or whatever that's like, hey, add more light to this.
Yeah.
To my guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting. Yep.
For the players.
The seasonal artifact is going to give you the tools that you need to defeat champions.
That's how you get the new mods. So oh my God, I'm so stupid.
True.
Shut up, Brian. So he unlocks this thing, and he's getting the mods that he can apply to his gear.
Oh, this is also the mod I was talking about earlier, where you finish heavy generate hammer, yeah. Heavy ammo, but it requires one half of your super.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a big trade-off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Half.
But okay. Yeah, so like you would probably want to reset this artifact and get them all unlocked. So this is how you're going to unlock mods that you don't have. This could be a path to get some of the ones that you're missing even from current. Because I think that bow and arrow one is currently in the game and the SMG
I think these mods are supposed to be specific to the season though. Because like look at the Vex one on the left here.
Yeah.
Like all Vex. Hmm. I imagine that when the next artifact comes out for season 9.
So you're going to want to unlock all of these.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. I think this is part of the stuff that goes away.
Yeah.
Like I think these mods go away.
The artifact goes away. I don't know if the mods.
Yeah, that's something that I'm not sure if Bungie has said if these mods go away, but we obviously know that some things are going away.
Yeah. Right? I never thought about that before. Props for using an Xbox controller, by the way.
The players.
The seasonal artifact is going to give you the tools that you need.
They're like we're not in Activision anymore. We can use whatever we want.
Enemies in the new Nightfall modes.
We're calling it Nightfall the Ordeal, so the players can choose how hard they want the difficulty to be. The further up you move in difficulty, the more likely you are to get the...
Is there a journalist difficulty? There better be.
Kind of rewards you're looking for.
You say a journalist difficulty?
Yeah.
The end game now is about powering up your artifact to get more powerful beyond your gear so you get to the hardest challenges. The hardest level of the Nightfall, or you're trying to hit the hardest raid challenge or the dungeon.
The dungeon. Yeah, that's right.
The dungeon that we're shipping in Shadowkeep's time
frame. She's very excited about it.
Yeah.
Deep within the moon.
I haven't seen her on camera or anything before, so she's probably like stoked to be talking about her creation.
Yeah, yeah.
You fight your way down into like the depths.
I don't think I've seen Brian on camera either.
There's all kinds of traps.
New faces. That's a warlock, right?
This is an opportunity for people that want the raid experience in terms of the mystery of the activity.
But I'm just hoping for like a really good jumping puzzle. And we got
that's the knight I was talking about. That looks sick.
Oh, we got a Balrog here.
Well, I mean, we just saw the jumping puzzle with this.
Yeah, that's why I was just like hoping it's like a really long, intricate jumping puzzle. But yeah, we have a Balrog here.
Yeah, God, he looks
awesome.
Gandalf
is about to fight.
He looks awesome.
He looks like
that's my favorite character design that I've seen thus far from Shadow King.
It does give me that Lord of the Rings vibe though.
Yeah.
Charging you up, Lars. Get in there.
Staged.
We're thinking a lot about how we
get in there, Lars. All right, Cosmo, we see
Lars
you, buddy.
Is like, what? Yeah, and Twilight Gap, so happy to see a
PvP game.
We're really committed starting in year 3 to have a renewed focus all through the year on PvP. That's going to be bringing back Destiny 1 maps. It's going to be bringing elimination into Crucible Labs.
Yes!
Yeah, everybody's excited about yes, it is exciting.
Oh, look at that helmet on that hunter, too. That's sick.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, because we know we have, hoodless
ornaments.
Not ornaments, but hoodless cloaks for hunters in this expansion.
I want that helmet. That hunter helmet
again with that warlock armor. Sorry, I just popped the mic by being really loud. It's exciting that elimination is coming back, but kind of sad that it's labs only right now because
for now. Well, I think he says in this Vidoc that they're going to test it out and see how.
Yeah, because obviously you're not going to be gaining valor.
Really cool thing where
when you're playing it,
four different iterations. Try them out week to week on the new maps.
Actually, can you go scroll back again? Sorry, to that
director
page. Yeah,
sure.
So I just hover over labs. Okay, so. Oh, so Crucible
you used
Labs.
To like this one, didn't you? I've been making some adjustments. Help me get this ready for the new recruits, Lord Shax. Fight for Valor by eliminating all opponents. This mode is experimental. Revive mechanics and heavy ammo rules will change throughout the season.
But there's actual rewards playing with labs.
Yeah, powerful gear, actually.
Yeah, powerful
gear. You just got to do four matches.
Yeah,
core matches.
I imagine it's still not going to record or give Valor because it doesn't have the drop down saying Valor.
It does say it gives Valor.
Where?
In the description. Fight for Valor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Four different iterations.
Interesting.
Try them out.
I thought the whole point of labs was for it to be like a test realm and not part
of maybe that
PvP, but interesting.
I'm all for it.
That's fine.
Seasons to be relevant for everyone.
I love this.
We want it to feel like everybody Boop. Has something new to do.
Sit out.
Feel like they're all doing it together. We're here
Roman
to build
supers.
Something that lives.
Get nerfed.
What is this?
That looks like Omnigo to me.
Yeah.
Our patented single evolving world line again.
Is when the Vex start invading.
Oh yeah, here it is. Garden.
And when they start invading the moon, you get to help take them out.
I love that for some reason these guys are covered in like trees.
Yeah, the overgrowth. That's what I was talking about when I mentioned earlier with that ogre that looked like he had some sort of overgrowth on him. But I think you were right in saying that he was more of a nightmare and had like some distinguishing.
That was the ogre. These guys are something else is going on. They're using time travel to come to the moon somehow, and they're covered in like moss and weeds.
They're like guarding the Black Heart. Is that what it's called? Though
I feel like they use time travel to go back in time and have these Vex available to eventually be utilized to go to the moon or like something narratively like that. Like that's what I would expect because nobody else has overgrowth.
Course of that,
it's a really cool piece of storytelling through character design, and I actually really like it.
Period. You're going to be getting more powerful, stronger, and then eventually you're going to stop that invasion.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. I'm totally guessing, by the way.
The story that we're telling is
where is this? Is that also Black Garden? Is that also Black Garden? So I imagine that's either Raid or maybe like
it's really going to kick that act.
I've said it before, but I would love it if the Black Garden became like a secret end game play space, like the Dreaming City was.
Oh,
I don't want to hype myself for something like that.
Yeah,
be let down. So I won't say that's what it's going to be.
We went over this before, but Raid Launch, part of Shadowkeep. Hero and Legend Nightmare Hunt. So I think that's what we were seeing when we saw Omnigul Master Nightmare Hunt. So we can't even do Master level Nightmare Hunts until 10-15.
Oh, gotcha. But that's Master, though. There would be Nightmare Hunt.
That was for so that, we can go up to 9-15.
Oh, okay. So Nightmare Hunt's at 10-8. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
And then season 8 gets
and momentum raid, control. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Nightmare hunts.
And then they're just listing them all on the bottom.
The moon, new strikes, new PvP maps. There's just so much going on, no matter what kind of player you are.
Xenophage. I wonder what exotic
season
that is.
Catalyst. Season 9 is really where things start to build. And then season 10 is where.
This reminds me so much of the raid in Rise of Iron.
Well, this
the
is,
armor set. Is from Rise
this
of Iron.
This is all the Warmind armor.
Yeah, I know.
What's that mode called?
It was never in D2, was it?
No, this is
Escalation Protocol.
Escalation Protocol. This is all that armor.
Things start to get pretty intense.
This
seems like it's going to culminate with Rasputin, and I'm really curious.
But I feel like they're just showing
season 11.
Now that's like
you think that there's a reason why we're back at Mars.
I think so.
Everything is going to come together, and you're going to want to be there to see it happen. It's going to be like no other time in Destiny.
Single evolving world is one of the biggest changes that we're going to make over time to Destiny.
I wonder if they're going to have a single evolving world.
It's asking us to kind of unlearn.
I accidentally said it at the same
time. You said it at the same time. Yeah, it was just really funny.
We've made the right calls, and if the answer is no, like the good news is. We're in full control to change it.
Another jab at Activision there. We're in full control.
Yeah, this
we can change it.
This is about them being independent, I think.
We can change it if we don't like it or if they ended up not getting the results that they were hoping from it.
We're turning it into a game that we're all proud to be working on.
We have a vision. We have a roadmap. We have a place we want to take Destiny. And Shadowkeep and Season of the Undying are just the first steps.
It's a foundation.
Like a new map.
This is like the bedrock that we're going to build a lot of other stuff on top of.
The bedrock, the 5-year long.
Broke a bunch of the bones that we had set, you know, with Destiny 2. What we've been able to do this year is we set them.
Monte Carlo again?
No, not even close.
Not even close, he said.
Montage. I'm stoked. Might have done Mad Strike once or twice.
I still think the Titan's got the best looking armor.
The astronaut, right?
For the astronaut look. I know we already have an astronaut look with the base game on Titan. From what was her name? She was the Titan vendor on Titan in base Destiny.
Yeah. 2. Anyway, what about
what was her name? Anyway, she had an astronaut looking Sloan. There, thank you. She had an astronaut looking armor set that you could get, and that looks kind of like it, better.
Yeah. Overall, I'm excited going in. Let us know what you thought about this format, Brian. Any final thoughts?
Nope. I'm just very excited to play it. And what are we, like 2 weeks out?
Yeah, we're really close to October
1st. 10, 11 days out.
Yeah, it's really, really close. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We tried something a little bit experimental with this episode. We did like a live Rewind Theater. We used to do these on IGN, but we can do them for Destiny 2 and for Fireteam Chat. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you thought in the comments below. Brian, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course, anytime.
That's it for this time. Until next time, everybody, Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.